this morning. Good crowd this morning. We appreciate you being here. And I have some scripture here I think is very critical. I just already asking the Lord to help us. I don't feel adequate. I'm going to do my best. And but we've been talking about prayer and giving, alms, and forgiveness. All of this is a Christian life. This is really the ideal, I-D-E-A-L. This is the ideal of the gospel. This is the individual God wants us to be. This is not, as Brother Finley preached about meekness out of the Beatitudes, and he pointed out some people, I guess, think that this is a type of people that after you get in the millennium or the heaven or something, you'll be this way. But how many knows you can be born again here and you can bear fruit of the Spirit? How many knows what the fruit of the Spirit are? If you have the Spirit in your life, it will bear fruit. Amen. When the Spirit dominates your life, and brother and sister, we must allow the Spirit to dominate our life. The Bible says, if we sow to the flesh, we shall of the flesh reap corruption. You wonder what's wrong with our world? There's the answer. They're reaping. We are reaping. We're reaping a life of sowing to the flesh, satisfying the flesh, craving pleasure, and flesh being, amen, happy. Amen. The Bible said if we sow to the Spirit, we shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Huh? Did I quote that right? How many thinks that's right? If we sow to the Spirit, we shall of the Spirit reap life. But be not deceived. God is not mocked. And how many's lived long enough to know? And I know people kick their heels up and say, "Whoa, having a good time." But sin, every sin, has a payday and a deterioration and a corruption in our lives. That's why homes are broke up. That's why children are abused. Amen. That's why people cheat and lie. That's why you can't hardly leave your house without everything that's worth anything being locked down. Amen. People are living to suit the flesh. And it's not just out there. It's in the church too. That's why we don't pray. It's hard work. Got other things to do. But really, if I took inventory this morning and asked you what was more important than praying, you'd say nothing. You would. Now, on paper, on black and white, we would say, honestly, nothing's more important than praying. But how many times do we do other things other than pray? Huh? Now, Brother Barnett preached this week, and the other preachers also, they all hook together, really. But Brother Barnett preached simple, basic preaching, great preaching. Preached about the Word of God and prayer and holiness, living right. Amen. The text today is found in the 6th chapter of Matthew. And we've been went through the Lord's Prayer and fasting, and we're into verse. I'm going to start today with verse 19, and this is so critical. If the Lord would help me get it to you, all right? Are you there? If you're there, say praise the Lord. All right, let's read it. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. Now, I usually don't make it through two verses before we've taught several lessons. But I'm going to go ahead and read another verse, and I want you to get this. I'm going to read it over to you. This is so important. Here's what's so important. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Amen. I hope the Lord will help me preach this to you this morning, or teach or talk to you about it. There's several things in these verses that are vital. And there's two key words in these scriptures that I want you to understand. Number one is the word treasure. And everybody knows what treasure is, I think. When I was just a little boy, and I used to love to read, and I look at pictures and books, and I can remember, seeing books about treasure and pirates, and I remember Treasure Island, and those old chests they'd have laid back, and in that chest, y'all may have never seen this, but it was just bulging with jewels and stuff that these cutthroats had taken off of people. And could, I guess, be translated into money. They could take the gold or the pearls or jewels. Has anybody ever seen a picture like I'm talking about here? This might be a little elementary for you. You seen them jewels hanging over, and you know, really, them old guys, them old patches on their eyes and guns, and they'd kill each other over that stuff. And they'd bury that somewhere, and they'd, you'd find a map, and you'd undo it and follow the line around, and there's X marks the spot, and the bones and skull, and here's where it's at. And boy, people would, they'd sail wide seas with that map in their hand, and that it would motivate their very lives. It was treasure. And now we know that probably if we had that whole treasure chest, we couldn't get enough gas to do all week. Huh? Probably if we redeemed every bit of it, we'd probably still have to borrow some to buy gas. Last night I filled that truck up and it was $96.43. Now I was on fumes, but I walked into the place to pay for the gas and the woman was standing there going, "Wow." And I said, "Do y'all have an installment plan?" Huh? But here's one thing that humankind needs to understand, and what Jesus was trying to teach these disciples when he talked about praying and giving and fasting. If we are investing in this life, that changes everything. It changes our prayer life, our giving life, our fasting life. If all you're interested in is being comfortable and happy here, then you're not going to pray much because it takes too much time off the clock. And it doesn't in this world, and I hope I can help you this morning. But I've got to get this message to my church here this morning. Because here is the key. This is the key to all our devotion, our faithfulness. And even when we come to church, if people come to church because they've got, Sunday school buttons and they don't want to miss one of them, but if they don't have the Spirit of the Lord, and if they're not motivated and they don't know I'm doing what is going to pay off for me in heaven, then they're not going, their heart, that's another word. There's two key words in this lesson, treasure and heart. And here's what Jesus said, and I'm going to tell you something. I have read a lot of books, and I've read after quotes from various scholars of men of intellect. But brother, there's nobody that ever quoted anything that was wiser than Jesus Christ. Amen. You can take every phase of life that there is, and what Jesus said about it, what his mind was about it, is the wise thing to do. You don't ever have to second guess. Now, there's people who have came to me for advice before. I guess they figure I could tell them how not to do a lot of things. But I'm slow. I tell you, people, you know, especially to giving opinions and advice when they're not asked, you might as well forget it. Because usually when folks ask, they don't listen half the time. And when they don't ask, you can just about rest assured they're not going to listen. But if you're going to get advice, even the greatest counselor, how many knows the Bible says, amen, that good men are not always wise? That's what the Bible says. But you can always depend on the Son of God. And you know what He tells us this morning? He says, be careful where you lay up your treasure. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Have you ever seen anybody do a thing that's heart is not in it? You know, it just does not. They don't have the enthusiasm. They don't have the energy. Amen. They're not happy. They're scorned and scowling. Amen. And they just don't have their heart in it. You know why their heart's not in it? Their treasure's not in it. But the Bible said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Now, I don't think that's very difficult to understand, y'all. Even we can take it in every phase of our life. We can take it in our life just from a child, as children grow up and begin to look at life and what is valued in life. You know, you take a child that really learns the Lord and knows the Lord and knows what the Bible says. When mom and dad says something to them, if they really know the Lord. Now, little old kids that grow up, you know, young and not understanding maybe concepts and precepts, you know, they may not. But you get a child that old enough to know and hear the Scriptures, then they're going to, when a parent tells them something to do, because they love God, they're going to obey their parents. Now, you're looking at me like you never saw a child like that. But we have seen children like that. Amen. And a lot of times you think you've got your thumb on them when really what they've done is just prayed through and decided they want to live. Amen. And a lot of times parents make too many rules. Amen. And they just want to be like Sergeant Carter, and it has nothing to do with right and wrong, and it causes confusion. And the Bible says to provoke not your children to wrath. Amen. Somebody say amen here this morning. Praise God. But you know, when a child really gets their heart to God and begins wanting to please God, amen, their treasure is in pleasing God. Because God has given, it is the first commandment with promise, amen, is to honor your father and your mother that your days be long on this earth. Now, I'm just giving you a little instance here, but our whole lives, amen, are affected by where our treasure is, amen. You know, the Bible says to love not the world. You know what that means? You know, I'm going to just lay it out here. You know what that means. Amen. To love not the world. Praise God. To love, amen, that word is used very recklessly in our world. Amen. But to love something, amen, is to make it your treasure. Amen. To treasure it, to love it effectually and fervently. Amen. But, you know, the Bible said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. How many of you know with me this morning what a miserable life you'd have if your treasure is this world? Y'all not saying amen. I think I might have the right message here today. Huh? The treasure, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For in the world are these three, the lust of the flesh. You know, a lot of times people think because lust, I guess, is four letters and starts with L, that it's the same thing as love. But it's nothing like love. Lust is just a craving of the natural man. Just wanting to satisfy and fulfill your obligation. And you know, that's our problem. A lot of times we put our treasure in fulfilling the old man instead of the new man. Now, you know, I say amen here today. I usually have begged for a bunch of them, but I ain't in a begging mood this morning. I'm just going to preach to you a little bit. Amen. Lay up your treasure, amen, in heaven. Now, how in the world can you do that? Praise God. And will it affect our lives? I'm telling you, amen, where our what we value and what we treasure is going to affect everything we do in our lives. So, you know, when you have a holiness church and there's times, and you know, I'm feeling it right now. There's times that you've got to just take the Bible and deal with outward things and inward things and instruct people in righteousness. But you know what? Where the rub comes in is when you begin to preach to people, amen, things that their heart is not in. Their heart's never been changed. They have never applied their heart to this thing. Oh, somebody say amen. You know, it's not hard to get a mother, amen, that loves her children. But, you know, I've found this out lately. I've found out that a lot of times mothers anymore don't want to be mothers. And dads don't want to really be dads. They're not happy with that. Amen. They're not fulfilled by that. And so they're looking and searching for something else. And where does that leave the children of America? That leaves them lost, amen, out on the sea without a compass and without a sail. Amen. But, brother, if we could get back and have our mothers and dads treasuring, amen, their children, amen, and the call that God gave them, amen, to live and do and be a great example. Do you know, brother and sister, that what you treasure in your life, amen, will be what your little children treasure? I watch these boys, these men here in the church, brother Ed. I watch Ed and his two little boys, and I've got a John Deere hat over at the house that I need to deliver. Logan left that thing over there ages back, and I've been meaning to bring it. Did you get it? Oh, hallelujah. Somebody got it. I got it right over here. Amen. But I'll tell you, amen, you know why old Logan likes, amen, John Deere green? Amen. Come on now. And they'll come in here and you just watch them. Amen. Their little jeans and them little boots. Amen. And they like big trucks. Oh, yeah. Amen. You watch your children, your life. You like to wear camouflage and go into the woods. Amen. There's a 99% chance, amen, that one following your steps will want a camouflage coat and go into the woods. That's right. Amen. And I know that's a simple thing. And I know they'll grow up and become their own individual real soon. Amen. But I also know, amen, that where our heart is, amen, that where our treasure is. And I tell you what, that heart in us, amen, that's like, amen, that is like the compass in our life. Where it is, we can go to church and act like religious. But if our heart is in the world, when we leave this building, amen, we're going to go right back out there to the hog pen of this world. Amen. So what's the key, preacher man? The key, amen, is getting in our lives, amen, a desire to put our treasure in things above. Hallelujah. Oh, I feel like preaching today. I believe, Brother Annis, this right here, I believe is the key to living for God. Treasure is a wonderful thing. The Bible said, love not the world. Now, Jesus, when he was praying to the Father and talking to his disciples, he told the Lord in prayer, he said, Lord, I don't want you to take these disciples out of the world. I want you to keep them in the world. Now here's where it may be a fine line, but the difference is heaven and hell. It may be a fine line. And as a preacher, you know, you don't want to seem fanatic. But again, things that God has dealt with us as preachers in prayer and in the Bible, they seem a lot more important to us than they do to the lay people. I don't know if you understand what I'm talking about. But I'm talking about, amen, and a lot of times, you know, people are said it and they're so close to the world. So close to the world. That and some things in themselves are not wrong in the sense. Does that make any sense? But yet, where they lead and what they associate with and what they are attached to is wrong. And so you'd walk a tightrope sometime, not wanting to seem, you know. And I've had it happen to me. I can preach an hour and a half on a subject of grace and goodness and mention one controversial thing in an hour and a half, and that's the only thing anybody remembers is that one little thing. And they say, you know, he preaches against such and so. Didn't even get it in context. Didn't get it. Didn't get the scripture that went with it. Amen. And then they just want to say, hey, all he ever preaches is, you know, a lot of times it's the women, you know, they, because it seems like there's a lot of preaching on the women. It's outward and what they should look like. And so usually women say all he ever preaches on is the women. But, you know, really it's not the truth. Amen. It's really not the truth. But all they get is that one deal, especially if they're having trouble over that one thing. They'll say, well, I would go over there to church, but all he ever preaches on, but you know good and well that's not true. But here's where the preacher's coming from today. Amen. Here's where the difference is. If your treasure, amen, is to live for God and not love the world, amen, it's not going to be real difficult for you when you go to seeking God in prayer every day, amen, and asking God, God, are my steps pleasing you? And it's just like the preacher said here, well, y'all ease up a little. You know I'm going to quit by one because I've got an appointment at one. Amen. But you know, a lot of people, they forget, amen, these, and they'll say, and I've had them say it to me time and again, well, I know you preach against that, but that does not condemn me. Well, I'm not going to preach against anything that's not biblical. And if it's biblical, then you're already condemned by the Word of God. You say, but I don't feel bad about it. Well, I'm going to tell you something. Amen. There are people preaching and pastoring churches right now that are possessed of the devil. Amen. And leading thousands of people behind them. And they're not only are they not saved, but they're controlled by the imps of hell. You say, that can't be. Oh, yeah. It's been that way all along. When Moses threw down the rod, amen, and those false witchcraft spirits threw down their rod, and they both turned into serpents. Amen. I'm going to tell you, there's always been a counterfeit, and there always will be. But here's where we find out, amen, if we're really holiness or not. We find out where our treasure is. If our treasure is in heaven, amen, then we're going to be pure of heart. But if our treasure is on the earth, then church is only a pastime. We get mad half the time. We wonder always where our tithes are going and what they're doing with the money that goes in that plate. And we worry ourselves to death over these and that. And we're not living any better than we did when we started. Hallelujah. We need to put our treasure, and Jesus is the one said it, and He's the wisest, and greater than Solomon is here, and He said, I want you, and here's the key. It's your heart and your treasure, and do you know who's going to be responsible? You are. Hallelujah. You say, well, how can this be? And I know I've had a preacher ask me about, you know, we were just discussing, he asked my opinion about preaching. He was preaching a message, and he asked my opinion of something that had been on his heart. And he said, and I forget exactly how it went, but they were looking at children whose homes were bad, and how that if the church was really strong enough, could the church overpower that influence of the home and convert these children? And you know, it can. But I also, from my perspective, amen, through the years of observing and praying, I also know that even though you may have a good church, amen, and a good influence, if that home is corrupt and rotten, it becomes almost impossible. Amen. But it's not impossible. Are y'all listening? Does this make any sense to you? But here's where it boils down. Amen. We've got to train our children. We have got to give them a good example to follow. But you know, God does not visit the iniquity of a child or a father upon a child. The Bible tells that. Are you listening? Oh, yeah. I know that their influence will... You take a little child whose parents dope and drink and never go to church. Well, that child is going to have a very slim chance of ever being right with God. Now, I'm just telling you the way it is. A very slim chance. Amen. When they're abused and slapped around and told a bunch of foolishness, they're going to have a hard time. But they can be saved. Amen. And here's the reason. Amen. Because they have a heart and a will of their very own. Amen. And when they look and make those decisions in life and they come to that choice of doing right or doing wrong, they have the ability to choose and put, amen, their heart where, amen, it needs to go. Amen. Come on now. I want to ask you. Amen. You know, that's why some people say, well, I wouldn't have backslid, but so and so. I'm telling you, one person, amen, is not responsible for another person's backsliding. Amen. No, no, no. Every person, you may discourage somebody and you may turn them astray. Amen. But everybody must make that decision, amen, for Christ. They put their heart, amen, in the place, amen, that they desire to put it. Some have an easier time. Some have a harder time. Amen. But the truth of the matter is, Jesus said, set your, amen, affection on things above. Amen. Come on now. You love what you will love. Hallelujah. I've heard people talk about, I've talked to young people that fell in love. Now, I'm going to tell you, if the kind of love you got, you fell into it, it ain't the right kind. Huh? Because love does not cause you to fall. It causes you to be elevated. Charity edifies. Amen. You say, but I just love. You know, when somebody comes to me and says, you know, about their companion, I don't love them anymore. I love somebody else. I'll say, well, quit. You're doing wrong. You're sinning. You're doing a horrendous evil. You say, but I can't help it. Oh, come on. Come on. You know, when people are swayed by looks and nudity and the shape of a person, are you listening to me? And they're swayed by perfume and flirtations. That's not love. That's lust. Huh? I just can't help it. Boy, when they walk in the room, woo, huh? Oh, come on. Get a hold of yourself here. What kind of world we have if everybody just, amen, just decided overnight, oh, I think I'll quit loving this and start loving that. No, you got a will in you. Now, you may have to crucify that old flesh. Come on now. I said you may have to crucify that old flesh, amen, that'll give you the ability to love what you really ought to love. The Bible said, love not the world. Amen, that's up to you. Oh, it's like that one boy that had a girlfriend every time you turned around and got caught kissing on him, smooching on him. And I brought him in and was talking to him. And I said, look, amen, you can't do that. And they looked at me as honest as they could. And they said, but oh, it's so much fun. But you know, fun turns into sin and fornication and adultery and cheating and whoremongers. There comes a time when you've got to call the shots and you've got to say, hey man, I'm going to set my affection, everybody in this house, as hard and crusty as you may be, everybody in this house has an affection. They have something they love dearly. They have something they treasure. They have something. Amen. And I'll tell you what, if it's not in heaven, if it's not to please God, then you are on the wrong road. Are y'all with me this morning? Jesus said, now, I want you to notice the way he said this. He said, lay up for yourself. Is that the way it said it? Lay up for yourself. Treasures in heaven. First he said, lay not up for yourself treasures on earth. Now let's go into this just a minute. I got about 5 more minutes. I'm going to spend 10. Now the Bible said, the love of money is the root of all evil. How many believes the Bible said that? The love of money. Now, the Bible said them that would be rich are pierced through with many sorrows. Huh? Now, I don't know what you might call rich. Now, what you used to call rich ain't rich no more. Huh? But, you know, I've seen people, and y'all stay with me now, I've seen people that set their affection in heaven that became wealthy without losing their soul. But I'll give you a guarantee, that never did become their treasure. If it did, they lost their soul. Amen. But what are the chances of that? Well, Jesus said it like this. He said, it's about as rare as a camel going through the eye of a needle. But he said, it's not impossible. It's not impossible. But see, we're living on the other scope of that in the religious world today. We have doctrines that teach if you're rich and wealthy and drive a Lexus or a Mercedes or whatever expensive car it is, that God has blessed you, and that's what Christianity is all about, is being prosperous with the things of the world. Well, whoever teaches that has never read Matthew chapter 6. Because there's something about it, and you know it's true. How many? I've never bought a new car, but I've been in a few, and they smell really good, don't they? Huh? Somebody gave me a jar of sauerkraut at one meeting I was in, and I put that in the floorboard of that old Lincoln. Remember the old pink Lincoln I had? My kids loved the old pink Lincoln. But I got that thing for nearly nothing and rode it forever nearly. But I put that in the back of that old pink Lincoln, and somewhere or another, Sister Lois, that thing bounced around and broke. And it cracked, and all that old sauerkraut run out in there. And I never noticed it. I called it home, and I went down there to get in that thing the next time. It didn't smell good. Matter of fact, it never smelled good the rest of its life. But you know, you get in that new. But how many of you know that even if you went today and bought the newest thing going out there, probably the most popular new thing now is probably a hybrid. Huh? It's probably one of that little Toyota Prius. But you know, they get old. They wear out. Huh? Get one of them big vehicles, and you know what? Somebody told me, and I don't know if this is true, but somebody said that they set on the payment book to be able to see out the window. And you know, that may be true. But you know, our country, now stay with me now. I'm going to talk to you just as sensible as I can. But people have laid up for themselves treasure here, and they've got the wrong concept. They think as long as they can obtain that, no matter how much credit they have to get it. Huh? But that's not wealth. That's really not wealth. If you got all kinds of stuff and you'll never live to get it all paid off, it's really not yours, is it? Y'all ain't helping me, are you? But, you know, there's a lot of scriptures against covetousness, against wanting something that's not yours, wanting something that you can't have. There's a lot of scripture against that. And here's a great cure for that, that'll keep you balanced and right. And it's just human nature. I know it is. I'm there. I'm a human. And it's human nature. I remember when I first started working, you get a little raise. And you know what you do? What I would, here was the crazy way I thought about things. I got a $60 a month raise. And I got to thinking, what could I get that the payment would be $60 a month? That's my prosperity. Every raise I got, I just went out and bought something else to bring it up. Now, that's not the way to live, is it? I learned better than that. But I'm going to tell you, the Bible said not to lay up for yourself treasure in heaven or on earth. But you need to, you know, when it comes to loving the world, what did Jesus say in that scripture? He said that you ought to love not the world, but use the world without abusing the world. How many understands what that means? Amen. That means this world, I think we've just about understood this, haven't we? This world is not our home. and to use without abuse. Hey, let's give a list. It's a bad example. But, you know, in the pharmaceutical world, you know, there's something taken in certain doses that might do some good, but taken in a different dose would kill you. And there's things out there in the world. One man put it like this: if your ship is in the water, that is normal. But if water is in the ship, that's dangerous. And so here's the fine line that we walk, brother and sister. Amen. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. If the world gets in us, just like Lot and his family down in Sodom, they looked out over the well-watered plain, and he wanted the power and the pleasure and the prestige that that well-watered plain would bring. He had the wrong motivation. So what happened? Hey, man, what happened? Not only was Lot in Sodom, but Sodom got in Lot. Amen. And all of his children. And so when it come time to leave out, they looked at him as one that mocks. And they laughed at him. And they scorned him. Because Lot had put his treasure on a well-watered plain. Amen. Brother and sister, this will determine our devotion to God, our labor for the Lord, our love for the world, whether we become worldly or not. I'm going to tell you, if we get caught up, and I'm going to close before I make anybody any matter, but I'll tell you this, if what happens in a world, when people start loving the world, you can tell by looking at them, you can tell by where they go, you can tell by what they love. Amen. That is a dangerous situation. But you take folks that really take things and pray about them, and are sincere, and their treasures are in heaven. Now, you look at old Sister Sarah. If she'd have put her treasure on earth, the last several years wouldn't have been good for her. Bankrupt. In a sense. Her health had failed. She left her little home, left her church, and it was a sad situation for her. But you know, her treasure is not on this earth. Her treasure is in another world. Amen? I'll tell you what, if we have hope in this life only, we're of all men most miserable. And so we need to get our focus, amen, on heaven. Praise God. Amen. The love of money is the root of all evil. You know, some of the most, and I hope you take this right, but some of the most successful businessmen of America's history were Christian men. They were men that gave, that tithed, and built things, and gave, you know. But here's the danger of that. It's been able to do that. It takes a special individual to be able to do that. Because a lot of times the more people get, the more greedy they get. Huh? And the more proud they get. So we've got to have our treasure located in heaven. And brother, it's like that scripture that talks about anchored within the veil. We're not being pulled by this world. Brother, I'm going to tell you, if you go to church and you're being pulled by the world and its customs, you're going to be a miserable person. But when you finally sever your ties to the world, crucify the world to you and you to the world. For you ladies, it don't matter what they're doing on the front of the magazines, you are going to pattern yourselves after this book. You gentlemen, it don't matter what they're doing down there on the job, you're going to pattern your way by the Word of God. You say, but brother, you just don't know the pressure out there. And you know, I haven't, as far as worked a public job in several years, but I do know what it's like, and but I don't know your particular circumstance, but I know this: God does. I said God does, and you could be a great light out there in this dark world, but you got to set your affection, and I'll tell you where your treasure is. There will be your heart, and where your heart is, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Let's stand.